there, you're welcome to another interesting edition of your number one African sports show, Sports Africana. You're watching by YouTube or listening to the podcast. Sports Africana is a platform where we try to celebrate our successes, talk about our problems, talk about our challenges, and talk about sports generally as it concerns Africa. We tend to bring you interviews from time to time, bring you interviews of veterans, superstars, legends who have excelled in their field, in the field of sports, particularly from an African perspective. Remember, you can listen to us on all the various podcast platforms, such as Stitches, Deezer, Spotify, Apple Podcast. And for our Apple Podcast listeners, please really appreciate your comments, your feedback. It helps us to become better. My name is Opa Adeola Amokomoro, and for the next few minutes or so, I'm going to take you the world around. I'm going to take you a trip around the world of sports. Today is no different. As you have requested, you want us to bring you inside stories. You want us to bring you legends. And today I have the honor of bringing in an ex-Super Eagles player. He was part of the golden generation of Super Eagles. If you want to talk about Super Eagles today and you're looking for a landmark, or you're looking for a milestone, you talk about the Super Eagles that peaked at the 1994 World Cup. Of course, there's Stephen Keshi, late Stephen Keshi. Some of them are late now, but quite a number of them are still alive, doing wonderful things even after retirement. It brings me great pleasure to bring on a former Super Eagles midfielder, Mutiu Adepoju, popularly known as Headmaster. Thank you for joining us, Mutiu Adepoju, popularly known as the Headmaster. You're welcome to Sport Ghana.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I will tell you when I first knew you. I first knew you when you were invited by Coach Tunde Disu to the Flying Eagles squad way back, preparing, qualifying for the World Cup in Saudi Arabia.
Under 20.
So that was the first time I really knew you. I think by then you're already in ICC Shooting Stars. So can you talk us through your football career, how it started? Was it from primary school? And I know you played for another club before Shooting Stars. So take us from the beginning, because our listeners, viewers would like to know where you start from, where you started from.
Like you said, I started very, very young. I mean, from primary school. And we live in Spring. I was born and brought up in a locality. In an establishment where my father worked then. And that was Cocoa Research Institute of Nigeria. They call it CRIN. It's in Nodjo Nonla, Idianyure, at the Oluyole local government.
That's in Ibadan.
Yes, Ibadan, the outskirts of Ibadan. And that was where I was born. And I mean, it's a very big establishment, you know, how the setup used to be. We have quarters, we have a lot of children and all that lives there. And as a football club, they have a primary school inside the same Crane, and that was all of us that live there. Then that was the primary school we went to. So we are in the same establishment. We grew up together. We play together. We have football field in that Crane, and Crane has a football club too. So as we are growing up from primary school, we started playing there, and we started looking up to the football club that was there, Crane Football Club. They used to play IFA League, that's Ibadan Football Association League. That's a local league in Ibadan. Mm. So while growing up, I played for my, played for my primary school, the primary school competition that we used to play, school to school and all that, in which, we entered into the final. We played against Army Children's School at the Liberty Stadium then and all that. So I started growing up, and after primary school, I went to secondary school, Prospect High School, Abanla. It's a locality in, around that axis too, Idianre. Abanla is, near Idianre. Idianre is where the headquarter of Oluyole local government area is. So we were just, near that, axis. So that was, the secondary school I went to, Prospect High School, Abanla. And when I got into the Form 3, I started playing for the school team in secondary school. So from there, Cocoa Research Institute of Nigeria, the football club, CREN, formed a junior team, which they called CREN Cherels. You know, cocoa is, the establishment is, they deal in cocoa, cola, cashew, coffee, and all these crops and all that. So, yeah. So, they now formed a junior team, CREN Cherels, in which they put most of us that lives in that area, in that axis, in that establishment, in quarters, in the junior team. They formed a junior team, and from there we started playing, and later we graduated into the senior team, in which I played the IFA League with Cocoa Research Institute of Nigeria. That's CREN Football Club. And from there, playing Principal's Cup, for the secondary school, all that. Then from there, I moved to Ogun-Osun River Basin Development when I finished secondary school. And after then, I played for briefly for Nigerian Breweries, but mostly before then, I played for CREN Football Club in IFA League. And from there, I was invited into the Oyo State a team that went to the National Sports Festival in Kwara 1985. So I represented Oyo State in Kwara 1985 to play for Oyo State. And from there, I was invited into the 1986 Under 17. Later, I was moved to Under 20, training with them. But by that time, probably because they had so many players in the Under 20 and all that, I was dropped from the Under 20 national team then in Lagos.
Now,
then I came back to Ibadan.
Let me come in at that point. When you're talking about that Under 20, are you talking about the Under 20 that was preparing for Chile 87?
For Chile, yes. Actually, yes, for Chile. But before then, after Kwara 85 National Sports Festival, Femo Scorpion, precisely Chief Ogundoyin, invited me to play for Femo Scorpion. So from there, from the National Sports Festival, I moved to Femo Scorpion. Then I started playing for Femo Scorpion in 1986. Meanwhile, it was after the National Sports Festival, few months after, I was invited into the Under 20 that I was talking about. Then later, I was dropped. Then I continued playing for Femo Scorpion. So from Femo Scorpion, we played the second division, that's National League Division 2. Then, I played 2 years there till 1987, before Femo Scorpion disbanded the team. The club was disbanded in 1987, in November or December. Then, meanwhile, before then, I had gotten admission, playing for Femo, we were in Nerua, I had gotten admission into University of Ibadan to do a diploma in physical and health education. And I moved, shuttling Ibadan, Nerua, Ibadan to go and play and all that. So, but when the team was disbanded, I came back to Ibadan. I was going to school, then we went for a trial. They invited us to go to Shooting Stars for trial. Meanwhile, before then, when I was playing in Femo Scorpion, we've played against Shooting Stars so many times. And I mean, they have seen the way, I mean, we play, I mean, the way I play, and some other guys, that, I mean, from Femo. So myself and I mean, some of my, our colleagues in Femo Scorpion, we went to Shooting Stars and we were picked in that 1988 for Shooting Stars, to play for Shooting Stars. While I was in Femo, I was going to school, I was in University of Ibadan, but moving back to Ibadan, I was in, I mean, in school, then I signed for Shooting Stars, so everything was now in Ibadan, and I was shuttling school and then Shooting Stars, playing and all that. Luckily, during that season, the under 20, the new under 20 in 1988 was camped in Ibadan. So Coach Gisu again spotted me in one of our matches, in most of our matches that were I played for Shooting Stars, and they invited me back into the under 20 while the under 20 was in Ibadan. So I joined the team, shuttling the school, Shooting Stars, and the under 20 national camp.
Right, if I may,
all in Ibadan here.
If I may put you on hold there, going back to Femo Scorpion. Okay. I learned the owner was such a difficult person. I actually know someone who's he said his uncle was the team manager at the time, that it was such a difficult owner to deal with, that a lot of you dare not think of moving to Shooting Stars. It will be a problem. And I know you played alongside, I think Christopher Wosu was in Femo at the time as well too.
That, I mean, Dimeji Lawa was in Femo, then Tunde Odubola was in Femo then, and all that. He was not, I mean, that's a difficult person, but he is, I mean, somebody that have a policy, and he knows what he wants, and you cannot just, I mean, mess with me. I will give you an instance. He was, I mean, even lover of Shooting Stars. Because there was a day Shooting Stars was playing in at Olubadan Stadium and the team was not complete. I went to Olubadan Stadium as a, I mean, being in Femo Scorpion, I went to watch Shooting Stars game, and they had any issues with their players. It was a friendly, I think, a friendly game they wanted to play, and Chief Ogundoyin was in Olubadan Stadium that day. And when he saw us and he saw the problem that Shooting Stars was having, that they didn't have enough players, he asked myself and Jim Obalogu to go and change, they find a boot for us, and we played for Shooting Stars being in Femo Scorpion. So it was just an instance that he was not that's a difficult person, but he knows what he wants, and he always go for what he wants, and that's just the kind of person he is. But very, very nice person. Nice man, and very generous and straightforward person. So he wasn't difficult person. So he allowed us to play for Shooting Stars then. So I wouldn't say that we wouldn't want anything. But when the team was disbanded, that was when we came to Shooting Stars, and we were signed on, and we played for Shooting Stars that season.
Right.
1988.
Did you play alongside?
Oh, I played,
Did you play alongside Peter Rufai? Because I know he was in Femo Scorpion very briefly.
No. He left before I got to Femo Scorpion.
Okay. Now moving up, you already mentioned about the national team, which was where you gained your prominence. And at the time, most people may not know this, you were a striker when you were in Flying Eagles. People did not know that you were a striker.
No.
You know, because
I was not. Okay.
That's
when you finish.
When you were in Flying Eagles, you were notably seen as a striker because you scored most, if not all, of your goals using your head. That's where you got the name Headmaster from. Anyway, so are you saying that you were never a striker at the time?
I was never a striker. I was a midfielder. And I will just tell you, some instances. In the Flying Eagles, I was a midfielder, attacking midfielder. And I mean, we had players like Christopher Owusu. He was number 10. I played number 8. And we had Ogaba, or other players that played, as number 4. So I was a box-to-box midfielder because I like moving. I like to be all over and supporting the defense, move to the attack behind the strikers and get into the 18. And that was what I liked most. I like moving a lot. So I wasn't, I was never a striker, top striker. But in one of our games where I scored, in the Flying Eagles, where I scored 3 goals out of, the 4-0 we played against Lesotho in the Ibadan here, we were having problems and Coach Dissu saw that probably if he placed me as a striker, he used to see the way I play, move around, box to box and all that. So he wanted me to stay. And I used to score goals very well with that. So he wanted me to be in the attack. So that probably I could score. And it worked. I scored 3 goals out of 4 goals when he put me in the attack. But I didn't, I like to score goals and to be there, but I didn't like to be fixated in the position.
Okay.
So that time Jimmy Balogun was a striker.
Dice.
So he just benched Jimmy Balogun and put me as a top 9, and then he put some of the other midfielders behind me to support and all that. And I scored 3 goals in that game. We won 4-0.
Wow.
Previous match that we played, we had played, was it not 2-2 away? And we came home, we won 1-0 or 2-0. So he wanted us to score more goals and all that. And that was why he put it. But after that game, even before the end of that game, he brought Jimmy on him when we have already scored. And I went back to my position. And he removed somebody else from there. So I was never a striker. I was, box to box, midfielder. But I scored goals a lot with that. And that was why they nicknamed me the headmaster.
Wow. So talking about the Flying Eagles, yes, I think you qualified by defeating Ivory Coast in the finals.
It wasn't like Ivory Coast. We played Ivory Coast in the
semi-final.
We played 2-2 over there in Abidjan, and then we won 2-0 here. It was Mali we played.
Yeah, it was Mali
in the final. Yeah, and it was two-legged game. We went to play the first leg in Mali. And I will give you some stories about that game. The week we were supposed to travel, we were training, and I broke my clavicle.
Wow.
On a Tuesday, and we were supposed to travel on Thursday, and the game was to be on Sunday. So we were training in Ibadan here, our last training, before we traveled to Lagos, and then we take the flight maybe Wednesday or Thursday. So I broke my clavicle. I didn't want to travel, but Coach Jesus said, I must travel because I have always been the one scoring the goals and all that. And I thought I was not going to play because I couldn't move my hand, the whole hand, I couldn't move it. I had a dislocation here in the clavicle, and it was very painful. So they forced me to travel. I traveled a day to the match. I thought I was not going to play because during the training, I had very, very great pains and all that, but they still said I was going to play. So I had to play with one hand. My left arm bandaged to my body. And the psychologist, Professor Shion Omotayo did a very good job, and the doctors and all that. They gave me injection and they prepared my head and everything. When I got to the field on that final day, the day of the game, I didn't know that I had injury. I only knew that I was playing with one hand, but I didn't know that I had injury because I didn't feel pain during the game. And I scored them the only goal that we had in that time, in that game. We beat them 1-0 over there, and I scored the only goal. So it was, a very, very good moment. And, all I wanted to do is just play. And, they really did very well to make me to play, that game. So we played. Then 2 weeks after, we came to Ibadan here, where we were presented them in the SEMA Cup. We defeated them 2-0 here, and I scored them in one of the goals. So in all, in that qualifier, out of 6 matches that I played, 6 or 8 matches, I scored 6 goals in that qualifier to get us to Saudi 89.
Right. Now, on that note, I would like to talk about Saudi 89, which was played at the newly built King Fahad Stadium.
King Fahad Stadium.
Yeah. Very lovely stadium. In fact, that was the...
Yeah, it was built for that purpose. It was built, newly for the purpose of the World Cup. Yeah.
So, what was the... Because I like to go into a little bit of inside stories. After the qualification, because I know Coach Disu used a lot of players, the likes of Victor Ezekwesili. Yeah. There's one Yoruba guy that played. I thought he was going to make the team. I'll remember his name. Tunji Adeyemi.
Yes.
Then there was Kabiru Valeria. Late Kabiru Valeria was in that team.
Valeria. Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. What was it like? Must have been a selection edict for the.
There was I just want to remember some other players that they couldn't make the team. Yeah, I can't remember now, but maybe before we end, I'll remember some.
So, what was selection? What was selection like? How was obviously someone like you? You will know that you will definitely make the team. You will know within yourself that you will make the team. But what was it like? To make the final 18, because at the time it was the 18 team that you have to select.
18, yeah.
In your mind, what was it like among players? What was the talks among the players? Will I be selected? Talk us through that period before.
It's always been very, very, very tough selection during that period. Selection is very tough, and you won't know who, except the players that play consistently. For example, like myself, even before I got to the national team, my aim was just to represent Nigeria, to be in the national team, to play football and get to the highest level. So I always put in mind that whatever I want to do, I do it with my mind and everything for everybody to see, and not to satisfy even myself. And to uplift the game Nigeria and represent my country and to be just to play that football to a professional level. So at that moment I knew, because I've played them in all the qualifiers, even when I had a problem, the coaches wanted I still played with one hand and all that. Then since was the highest goal scorer, so I knew definitely. But that did not mean that I was going to take everything for granted. In all training, I always put my best, and I was always among the most talking about the endurance and all that in the camp. So I didn't even look at because I was scoring goals. I was always in the team. I had to go down. Cool down or rest, because I knew that there are some other players coming. We had so many great players that could take over your position if you just if you just relax. So I always put in all trainings and all that. So in camp, we always want to play and everybody. And I knew it would be a problem for the coaches to make them in selections, because all the players that was in camp then, you can't just say this cannot enter the team. All the players could enter the team at any moment, at any time. Even one of the players I wanted to remember, the present coach, Saliu, No, Salisu.
Salisu Yusuf.
Salisu. Salisu Yusuf was in camp with us. So he was, I mean, one of, I mean, the players that didn't go to Saudi 89. So he was one of the players that, were dropped. You understand? So the competition was, I mean, very, very tough in the team there. And once, I mean, you are selected, I mean, you always, I mean, thank God that, I mean, at least you are selected and, I mean, going further, you just, I mean, put up your best.
So when you were selected, first, how did you get to know that you were selected, and which player was the first player that contacted you? You know.
Well, I can't remember. You know, it was that was in 1989, early 1989. Yeah, and I can't just remember everything that, I mean, transpired and, I mean, what happened, I mean, at that moment, but. The fact was that, I mean, everybody was happy. They called the list. Not that, I mean, they informed you. They called us, and we had a meeting, and, I mean, they announced the names of the players that, I mean, were selected. And that was how it was done. Yeah, the players selected, I mean, would be happy, and, I mean, you would know that other players that were not selected, I mean, they will be sad, and, I mean, they will not be happy or not going. But what we did that time was that the most players that, I mean, were still in camp, we still keep contact with them because we love each other so much, and which we carried them along. And when we came back, we put them as part of the team that, I mean, we did everything together. It was not only us and all that. It was just unfortunate that, I mean, most of them were not given, but on our own side, we contributed. Most of us players contributed from what we gained, the bonuses and all this in Saudi Arabia that, I mean, we collected. We contributed to give, I mean, those players.
Wow.
When we came back.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was like a family. We were like, I mean, 1.5, 2 years, 1 year or more together in camp. So we took ourselves as, I mean, brothers, like a family and all that. And that was what, I mean, we did then.
Wow, that's quite generous. Now, talking about Saudi Arabia 89 proper, I'll tell you one thing. On that day, it was a Friday, the opening game. I remember it was an opening, because I think that was their own weekend. And I was rushing from school. I mean, I was living in Ikorodu, but I was schooling in Ikeja. And
wow,
yeah, so you can imagine the game was going to start. I think I can't remember what time, but by the time I got in, Saudi Arabia has scored one because they scored first. You know, I still remember the name of the goal scorer, Al Suraiti. That's the name of the goal scorer. They scored first. So, the opening game, how were you feeling? Okay, what was the feeling like? Oh my god. We're in the World Cup now. The whole world is seeing us. Opening game, Saudi Arabia, playing against fans.
Actually, you know, for example, myself, I mean, that was my first World Cup. So I was excited. But at the same time, a little bit, I mean, skeptical about what I was going to meet. You know, it was an international, the whole world is watching, and you know, you will be a little bit the anxiety, the nervousness and everything, jittery, yeah, a little bit jittery and all that. But after they scored us that goal, I mean, it was like, I mean, everything, just now we have to settle into the game. And that was how we just started. I forgot everything about whether all I wanted to do is just all for us to equalize. And that opportunity came, and I was the one that equalized. I mean, that the pullout came from Philip Osondu. May God rest his soul. And coming from from the midfield, entering into the attack behind the the strikers, the pullout came, and I just nodded it down to the far post, and then we got the equalizer, and it was awesome. It was, I was so happy and all that I continued what I left in the qualifiers. I continued it and all that, and then it was great. I felt so happy, and that was when all the being jittery and all that, went away, and then we started playing football again. And the second goal came through Chris Owen, which is free kick. But the first game, and playing against the host country, you know, is something that one will be able, one way or the other, be jittery and all that. But we just forgot all those things. After we had the equalizer, and we just played our normal game.
And of course, after that game, you played against Portugal in the second game. You lost 1-0.
Second game, yeah.
I think we had 1-0, yeah. We had two red cards late to the charity. And Mike Oyemachara, they got two red cards. And you guys were playing, if I remember very well, you were at a disadvantage. And it was a very tough game. And
it was very tough.
Talk us through that game. Then, of course, you played, I think, Czech Republic, the last game.
Yeah, in the last game, yeah. I can't remember exactly what I only remember that we had great players from Portuguese team that were very Sapinto, João Pinto. And some other great players, were playing in the top, and they were very good. And playing against them was like, you know, we didn't know our strengths at that time in game enough, and the game just went the way it went, and we lost just with one goal. And when we lost that game, we knew that we had 3 points, and what we needed was just 1 point, because it was only three teams in a group then. So, and we only had the last game to play against Czech Republic. So after the Portuguese that game, we knew that we had so we just had to do something to make sure that we win or draw against Czech Republic. So in that third game against Czech Republic, we just knew it's just now or never if we want to qualify for the quarterfinal. And we just went. I think they scored us first too, and Christopher also did that Maradona style dribbling, and then he scored our goal to give us the draw. So it was a fantastic game too.
Yeah, that was a game. That game gave intention, because we knew that we needed a draw in that game to move on to the next stage. That Christopher also goal. There are not many goals like that I've seen, till date. Yeah. I think the next time I saw a goal like that was Edema Fuludu, when Julius Berger played against Dablono. I think by then you were in Spain. I was in stadium that day, and he dribbled the Congolese team from the center, and and he scored from the center, and that was the last time I saw that kind of goal, And of course, like you said, we qualified. Now, to the most significant game of that competition.
Miracle.
Again, I will tell you where I was. I went to spend the holiday somewhere in Ikeja, Lagos.
Okay.
And it wasn't a live coverage for some reason. But we're listening on radio. And by the time the fourth goal, now I don't want to preempt you, but that was where I was, And talk us through that game proper. You were playing that game, I think because you were second, you had to play that game in Daman, so you had to travel.
Yeah, we traveled to Daman from Riyadh. Our group one was. So on getting to Daman, we were just thinking another game, quarterfinal, and this game is when you lose, you are out. You are going back home. So preparing the game, we prepared the game as normal, and getting to the field that day, the Russians, they were too much. They rushed us in a way that we didn't even believe ourselves. I think during the group stages, it was Angus Ukeji that was
in goal,
and they just changed to Emeka Amadi, I think it was Emeka Amadi.
It was Emeka Amadi. Yeah.
So when we started, they rushed us, as I said. They rushed us, and then we didn't get our bearing on time. And before we knew what was happening, they had scored two goals in the first half. They scored two goals, and we went to the halftime. And before we know it, we talked. Everybody did everything and all that, and the coaches, they did everything too. But when we came back in the second half, we lost our bearings again, and they scored another two goals, which was very, very bad.
And now, before we go on, at that point, in your heart of heart, did you believe it was over?
If it was over, well, the thing was, I don't give up. But going down 4-0, it looks that it was over. But the thing was that, we always have this thing in Nigeria that, even if it's over, I don't know about now, but like myself, what I have in mind was that I always feel that, you must be able to have a say in something, and you must be able to do something to avoid something. And as we have gotten the four goals, we're losing four goals, then why, let's play and at least demonstrate that, we didn't just come, our coming here was not just a fluke, and let's do something. So we now settled down, we talked to ourselves, let's be organized and let's play. And that was how it happened. We knew ourselves the strong point of all our players. For example, I'm good in the air, and I'm good in passes and all that in the midfield, and to help in marking too. We knew that Ohen, when we have free kick, is very deadly. He scores deadly free kick. He's very, very, very strong in, without his left foot. We knew that Dimeji Lawal, is a dribbler. And we knew that Unduka Ugbade has, great speed. So all these things, we put together that let's play. We didn't just talk to ourselves that, let's do this or let's do that. Everything was just coming when we talked to ourselves that, we should calm down and play a good game. We are already four goals down. It couldn't be worse than that. But let's do something. So we had opportunity. All what I was looking for was, just to add a free kick for near the 18. So I always wanted to hold the ball and all that and get kicked. And in the two free kicks that we had near the 18, I think I was the one that brought that free kick. So we knew Ohen is going to play it and all that. So the first one, he scored it. Then the second one, the same thing. We always know that, he's going to play it and he's going to... So nobody, argue or do anything when it comes to free kick. And he scored the second one. So we knew that, okay, at least we are not going 4-0. We are 4-2. Before we score our first goal, it was 22 minutes to the end of the game, because I was always looking at them in the scoreboard and to check the time. We had 22 minutes to, and we scored them in the first goal. Then few minutes later, we scored the second goal, 4-2. Now we said, and we were now calm and we were now playing our game as normal as possible. Something that took a defender, Sam Elijah, to go to the front, and which is not normal. So we had that confidence that it was 4-0, now it's 4-2. Now we are playing. Now we have calmed down. But when they had their own four goals, they have already removed most of their players, their top players. Oleg Salenko, was the highest goal scorer. They've removed him. They've removed them with some of their key players, and they brought them in some other players too in. And we had our own strength. So we were now using our strength. Elijah went and got into the 18 and scored the third goal. And we were now thinking that, what else can we do? We are 4-3 from 4-0. We can still make it. And I just had that pass from the midfield, Then I saw Nduka Ugbade that was supposed to be
the defender
behind me. He played in the midfield on that day.
Wow.
I just saw his movement. He has very good speed. Because they were playing up high. So when we got the ball from the midfield, they were just at the half of their field. And we had a lot of Nduka just went with speed, moving. He just called me. I just saw his movement. And I saw the opening. I just put the ball because I knew he had good speed. And I just put the pass in between their defender, and he just came. The goalkeeper was coming. He just raised the ball to him, and that was how we got the fourth goal, equalizer. It was we didn't believe it, but when we started scoring, and we got to 4-2, we got to 4-3. We knew that if we put more effort, we could get the 4-4. And when we now got the equalizer, we knew that we were not going to lose that game. So that was what we just talked to ourselves, that we are not losing this game. The extra time, we put everything into it. 100%, even 200% of our energy we put into it. And anybody that was tired, nobody was tired, even that day, because we knew that we needed it. So the extra time we played, we were still 4-4, and the penalty shootout. And we just had the luck to score all our penalties, and they lost some of their own, and we won. So it was unbelievable. It was awesome, and we couldn't believe that we did that feat. And getting to the camp, I was still pinching myself in the room that, what we did, was it real? Or I was still in the dreamland.
You were in the same hotel with you were in the same hotel with the Russians.
Yes, I think yes, we were in the same hotel.
So what was the mood like in there? From where you can see, even though you're very happy, mood like from their end?
The mood from their end, even on the pitch, you will see that it wasn't good at all. You know, just like when you are winning, you are happy, and you just all of a sudden you are no more winning. You lost the game. So the mood, we didn't even see them on time at the dining to go and eat and all that, and we were just jubilating, and we were so happy, and in fact it was a great moment.
And of course, you went on to play the semi-final
again,
which was another tough game. If I remember, it got into extra time,
it got to extra time. Yeah, so we played.
Yeah, go on.
We played the two games consecutively, and then it was 3 days interval to each other. 120 minutes with penalty in first one, the quarterfinal against Russia. Then against the USA, we had a very good game, tough one too, but it was extra time too. That game was a very good one too, and I scored them in the 2 goals, and it was great.
And of course, you played in the finals against a team you played in the group stage.
In the group stage, yeah.
That's Portugal.
Portugal.
So, what could, I mean, of course, you lost that game 2-0. What do you think attributed to the defeat? Was it because you had been fatigued playing 120 minutes for 2 games, or the Portuguese were just better than us?
Well, I would say both contributed to it, because they had advantage of not playing. I don't think they ever played extra time in all their games. They had all their games very easy from the game we played against them was tough. They had tough game against us in the US. So they had already monitored us. And we had played in the 120 minutes extra time in 2 games consecutively within 3-4 days. And getting into that, there was fatigue, quite okay. But it shouldn't be excuse. But I think, they mastered, our game, our strategies, our game, they mastered it better than how we did to their game. Because I don't think that, we really watched any of their games and all that. But they blocked all the loopholes, strong points of that we had. And we couldn't get apart from the fatigue, we couldn't get hold of that game in the final. We tried our best to make sure but they got us got us hands down to score the goals. And it was very sad, very sad, because we really wanted to win. At least coming. China 85 under 17 did to come to Nigeria with the cup, and that was just our intention, but it was not to be, and we lost that game, and it was very sad. So really sad.
But Nigerians were still very happy with, I think, the Russian game made for a lot of things. Yeah. So Nigeria was still
happy. Exactly.
You made the podium on that game. Now you came back. Yeah. When you came back, you moved to Julius Berger. From then, you as a person, your career started moving on. You moved to Julius Berger, which was the team I was supporting at the time. Was Coach Joe Errico that was still the coach at the time. I'm not too sure.
It was Joe Errico before I got to that. To Julius Berger. Because Julius Berger and Shooting Stars, we played in the second division.
Yes.
So the promotion was between Julius Berger and Shooting Stars. The two of us got promoted. So, how did it go? Am I mistaking it for First Bank? Because I remember First Bank very well. I think Julius Berger was in the second division.
Yes.
So after Saudi Arabia, Chief Udama, the chairman of Julius Berger, had been coaching me. They have been talking to me to come to Julius Berger and all that and all. Then when we got the promotion, I knew I wanted to play in the first division. But when we went to Saudi Arabia, I knew that probably opportunity might come. But for me to go to Julius Berger, I knew I will still play in the first division of the national team, of Nigerian League. So leaving Shooting Stars was not this thing, because it was a better offer than Shooting Stars in Julius Berger. And then what you want, though Shooting Stars was my club from youth, and I'm from Ibadan, my blood is Shooting Stars. But when you're talking about moving forward and all that, you have to put them in sentiments apart and all that. They didn't want me to leave, but I just believe that it was going to be best for me, because what they were offering me was double of what I was having in Shooting Stars. And one has to move forward. Shooting Stars was not ready to increase what I was earning. If I tell you the amount, you will be shocked. I was earning 550 naira in Shooting Stars, and Julius Berger was offering me 1,000 naira
at the time,
salary every month.
At the time.
At the time.
That's
yes, at the time.
That's at that time.
Not now.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, I wouldn't say it was, I mean, small money, because that 550 that I was earning in Shooting Stars, I used to pay everything when I was in university, and I still have, I mean, money till the end of the month and all that. So it was, I mean, not small money then. It was big money and all that. Even though when we are calling it now, it's nothing. But I mean, it was, I mean, good money, because I was able to go to school. I was able to, I mean, furnish, I mean, buy things and all that, and without getting broke till the end of the month. And that's how big, I mean, it was, I mean, then. But moving forward, Julius Berger offering double and all that with sign-on fee and all that. I mean, you know, you want to move forward and all that. That was not an issue. But I moved to Julius Berger from Shooting Stars. Then when I got to Julius Berger, I played 6 months, and I was called upon to come to Spain to do trials in Real Madrid.
Before you go to the Spain bit, I remember a Palau game that I watched, that you got a red card in Julius Berger. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I remember that game. It
you
was
got
a frustration.
Card.
And sorry?
You got the red card in that game.
I was
frustrated. That was the only time you got the red card in career.
That was my I think I got another one in Spain, and that was just the 2 red card I got in my career. The second one in Spain was 2 yellow cards. You know, that period, they changed the rules that, I mean, when you get, I mean, 2 yellow cards in the game, it's, I mean, red card. So that was it. But the one in Julius Berger, it was a frustration. I think, I mean, we were playing against, I can't remember what team we played against. And I mean, they were just kicking me, and I was frustrated. And I learned a lot from that game. That even though if you had, and it improved me. I learned a lot of lessons from there. I never wanted to get a yellow card or red card and all that, but because of the frustration, kicking and all that, retaliation was what gave me, got me that red card. So from that moment, I said, even if I was kicked, I had to let the referee do their own thing and, do my own thing and not get frustrated or get angry about that thing. So that was how I was able to curb, the youthful exuberant and the anger on the field and all that. Since that day, I always remember that throughout my career. So it was a very, very sad moment for me. I did have a good game, and upon that, I was being kicked at every opportunity. So I got that yellow card. It wasn't good at all. So
then you now got how did you get your invitation to Spain to come and try with Real Madrid?
Saudi Arabia. I didn't know at first. I was in Julius Berger, and I just got a call. Somebody came from Spain, and somebody connected them with them in us there, and they talk about us going to Spain. And I was very happy with it. We got the invitation, and the Julius Berger management, they allowed us to go. It was myself and Uwosu. Dimeji Lawal and Nduka Okwade, Chris Ohe had gone earlier than us, and they called us too. I think, we were picked, scouted in Saudi Arabia. Real Madrid scouts, I've forgotten one of their legends there that went there. What was his name? I just missed his name.
Is it the Bosky?
He came for the tournament. No, not the Bosky. Paco Gento.
Okay.
His name is Paco Gento. Paco Gento is, I mean, one of their legends. I mean, great legends. So he spotted us, and that was how he took, I mean, our names to Real Madrid, and I mean, they invited us. And we went for trials and all that. And getting there, it wasn't, I mean, a bed of roses, because I didn't play the whole year that, I mean, I went there. I mean, at first I failed a medical, in which it was a bit somehow, but later I continued staying in Spain and all that. And it was, I mean, some few months after, when the medical was, I mean, was okay, that I was, I mean, called upon, and I started, I mean, playing. That period, they had already gone back to the Division 2B, and they registered me in Division 2B as one of the players before the end of the season. I mean, as one of the Division 2A. So they went down. Then I started playing the following year in Division 2B, and I mean, we came up again. And I was the highest goal scorer in the second team then. That's, I mean, Real Madrid Castilla. I was the highest goal scorer with 19 goals to bring the team back to the second Division A. And I spent 3 years in Real Madrid before going to Racing Santander. But before that season, before Racing Santander came to for me, I played against them and scored against them in their home and in our home. That's a way to Racing Santander in our home in Bernabeu, where we won 4-0, and I scored a hat-trick too. I scored a hat-trick against them, against Racing Santander. So it was, I mean, during that period, they came for me, and I signed for them at the end of the season. And that season, the first season I got there, Racing Santander has never got promoted to, well, they have been in first division before, but many, many years back. So that same year that I got there, I was the highest goal scorer again to get the team up to the first division, in which I stayed there, maintained them for 4 years in first division before I was signed at the deadline date by Real Sociedad to play for Real Sociedad in 1996. So I got to Racing Santander in 1992, got them promoted to first division, and I stayed there till 1996, 92 to 96 in Racing Santander before I signed for Real Sociedad in 1996.
And by this time, your mates, Onduka Agbade, Christopher Nwosu, and Jimeji, they've already moved on from Madrid at the time. You were the only one that was remaining from that group.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, it was four of us. Jimeji Lawal and Christopher Nwosu got there first. We met them that same year, a few months after, in which I did not play, I mean, the medical thing, and Christopher Nwosu too. So Christopher Nwosu, that same season, went to Belgium. He didn't have, I mean, that patience, I mean, to stay and wait. I waited and I was signed up, but Christopher Nwosu went to Belgium. So when I played there that same season, myself, Christopher Owen, and Dimeji Lawal, we played the same season there. Before the following season, Dimeji Lawal and Christopher Owen got different clubs. And I mean, I was the only one, the last one, I mean, in Real Madrid B that played for them for till 1992. And that 1992, my first year in 1991, I was invited into the Super Eagles main team. Although I've already been invited when I was in, after Saudi 89, I was invited. So I was in the camp when we played against Cameroon in Ibadan here. I was in the camp then when we played against, before I traveled in 1989. Yeah. So I was still in camp for two games. The game that they played against, I can't remember, I think, I mean, it was
Was it Angola?
Angola, the game where Farage slumped. That was the day I was, where he slumped on the field. That was the day I was traveling. So I was not on the pitch. It was at the airport I heard about the news. I mean, it was very, very sad. And I was traveling out that night. So I was in camp with them then, but I didn't play. I didn't get to play any game. So my debut came a year after, in 1990, when I was called back from Real Madrid Castilla. I was playing in the second team, Real Madrid Castilla, and they invited me back to the Super Eagles, in which I had my debut against Togo in Lagos, and the Major Lawal to play that game, in which we won 3-0. So that was my debut in 1990. So from then, I started coming back from Real Madrid Castilla to invite me and all that. That when we played the qualifier for Senegal 92 AFCON. So I participated in all the qualifier.
And of course, you really made your mark at Senegal 92 when at that point in time you were really at the heart of the midfield in Senegal 92, and of course you scored a goal in the semi-final with your head again. You know, I think all your goals for Super Eagles are against Ghana.
Well, most of the goals against Ghana, against Ghana, I scored Edward Ansah. Well, it was great moment for me. That period, I was coming up and looking up to the players like Sidi Keshi, Eguavon, and all that. And I was young in the team then, and coming up. So West House really, he didn't have where I played in the under 20. We had so many players there. So, and the pattern we were playing in the under 20 was different from the Super Eagles then. We play 4-4-2, and it was different in the under 20. So to get me into that space, we had great players there and all that. So West Ham just converted me to the right midfield, in which I was playing it as a midfielder, but marking, distributing, pull out, and everything and all that, which I really mastered very well. Sometimes during Senegal 92, when they are bringing Finidi in, and they will just shift me to the left side, and Finidi will come in to the right side, and we'll continue the game like that. So it was a great moment. I really had a good tournament in Senegal 92, likewise in 94. But
because that was now the crucial period for Super Eagles. At that time, period. We were looking like a proper team. I'll be honest with you, I had the belief that we're going to qualify for the World Cup after many disappointments. Now, talk us through the qualifiers, because by then, you now had competition in the midfield. There was Okocha, who had just joined the national team, and there was Sunday Olise, who had just joined. So the competition was now getting a bit stiffer now. In fact, sometimes Siasia was converted to a midfielder at some times, in some games. That's how competitive the team was. So talk us through the qualifying was, series into the World Cup, then into the AFCON 94, then the World Cup.
Okay. like you said, the competition was getting there. There were a lot of players that were invited into the team. A lot of players comes, and I mean, as they are looking at them, some will be going. So during the qualifiers for 92 Nations Cup, we had, I was just new in the team then. Then after Senegal 92, I was grounded in the team, in which sometimes with Eguavon, we play, they will put me, double midfielder. When we are playing 4-4-2, for example, the one we played in Congo against Congo Brazzaville. And we had good game. We won there. Rashidi Yekini scored the only goal. It was a very, very tough game and all that. So I was grounded in the team. But afterwards, they started inviting two, and Olisek came. Very good. We had stiff competition in the team, and I was not a standing midfielder. We had Okocha too, that's a number 10, natural, normal number 10. And they were coming into the team. They had to look for space for me. In fact, the competition at training then, but actually, the competition was, very healthy. The relationship was very healthy. I wanted to be in the team, but to help the team, whoever the coaches picked, I don't have any problem with it. We had good relationship. Okocha was a great player. I respect him a lot. Olise was a great player. Respect. They respect me too. And anytime I play with any of them, they enjoy the game I play, and we enjoy our games and all that. And so there wasn't any rancor or any problem in it. When the coaches feel that this is the player they need, they put the player at that moment and all that. And anytime, I always know that, sooner or later, there will be opportunity. Yes, I might be on the bench sometimes. I will come in at some point. So I always train very well, put up my best and all that, because I always want to play anyway. And whenever I'm called upon, I want to be in the team and not to disorganize or do anything or have envy of anybody and all that. So that's always been what I had in mind and play. So we had that team, and we qualified and getting to the AFCON in Tunisia, the team was standard. But during that time too, we were having the qualifiers for the World Cup. So we had very, very strong competition, good team, a lot of players that have come in, and a lot of players that were left out too, which they couldn't make the team and all that. But getting into the AFCON, we already knew that we had very good base, we have good this thing, and we just went with the aim and objective of winning that AFCON in 1994, and then we went for it. It wasn't easy. It was not, because we had problems in some games, but with the cooperation of everybody and the unity that we had in the team, we were able to win that game. But it was a very, very stiff competition in the team, and healthy healthy competition, healthy relationship we had in the team. Yes, we couldn't say that there wasn't any rancor, any fight and all that. You cannot have 23 or 25 players or 30 players without having misunderstanding, without having this thing. We had it, but we were able to overcome all the obstacles and all the rancors and everything that we had in the team, and we were able to win that game and then qualify for the World Cup.
And talking about AFCON, how did you feel winning the African Cup of Nations? Because when you won it, Nigeria had not won it for, I think, 19 years at the time. The last time we won it at the time, since 1980. was the last time we won it. So we have not won it for
1980.
So about 14 years.
14 times.
Yeah.
14, I mean, 14 years. Yeah.
So how did you feel?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I felt, I mean, very, very happy, very great. It was awesome. Because, I mean, it's always, I mean, what we want to do and what I want to do. I want to win AFCON. I wanted to represent Nigeria and to be at that stage, winning AFCON and all that. And I was so happy, very, very happy. Even though I played in the first game against
Gabon.
I came in for Okocha, which I scored a very, very good goal, which I can never forget that goal. It was a great goal that I still remember always. And the second game, I started, but in a different position. I played in the midfield in the first game when I came in for JJ Okocha. Then in the second game, I played as the right wing right, wing back, or wing right, or how will I put it then? And which was a little bit different from the way and all that against Egypt, which we had, we played 0-0. Then the third game against, I think it was against, was it Kenya or what team was it? I came in again. So in the quarterfinal against, I think Cote d'Ivoire, I came in again. Then in the final, I didn't play at all. I felt sad. I wanted to play and all that. But notwithstanding, winning that cup, I participated, I contributed to it, and I was happy for us to have won it. It was awesome. It was great because, we needed it. We qualified for the World Cup for the first time in history that same year. A year before, the World Cup is going to be that same year, and we won the AFCON. So we already had, that confidence. We had that confidence that we are going to the World Cup to go and make a statement, to go and, at least to open to the world that, we want to show what Nigeria is made of in the world of football. So it was a great moment, awesome.